Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation Panel Call on 21st of November 2019. In the call, we have Bill, Michael, Dennis, Hassem, Matt, Michael, and Bitinan. Over to you, Bill.
Okay. I'm going to start out with letting Michael talk about the status of the Trello homework. Then we'll go through the IP suggested edits to our LGR. And if we have time, we will perhaps talk about the spreadsheet. Before we do, I'm going to jump down to item five and point out that we've got a meeting scheduled for next Thursday, which hopefully Mirjana will be able to join. It's a holiday in the US, but that's okay with me. Dennis, do you have a problem with that?
So don't stop meeting because of me. I'm not planning to attend. If you're holding a meeting, most likely I will not be able to do so. So, but don't stop meeting because of me.
Okay. And was your hand up for something else as well?
Yes, thank you. So on number two, I think after the meeting with IP, all of us gather and discuss, talk about, and I think to some extent agree that we were going to abandon the watermark exercise in lieu of doing the streamlined version of visual analysis using the spreadsheet that we've used in the past. This seems a reversal to that approach or direction that we wanted to do. So, trying to understand why the reversal, or is something that is not being clear to me here. Why are we doing this? Both, looks like, I mean, I'm not sure it's the same thing or one fits the other. I like to understand the this relationship or why we're going back to doing the watermark thing. Thank you.
Mikhail, you want to speak to that?
Sure, Bill, I can try to respond to that. So my first question is, why did we change the approach?
Sure, I guess I can fill the gaps, and others that were in the meeting as well, I can chime in. So during the meeting, I think you attended remotely, so not sure how clear the message went through the remote participation. But so I think the two clear directions were given by the integration panel was to focus on the clear-cut cases, right? And this has been always the case. And use fonts that are typical or used in URL user interfaces. I stand to be corrected, but I think that's the direction that the integration panel gave us. And so in that sense, taking these two pieces of advice, we gather and strategize as to the next steps. How can we, and the other piece of, advice was to finish this in the timeframe that is expected because of how the integration panel's time commitment for next year is going to start, phasing out. So they really expect us to deliver a formal proposal for public comment by January, right? That's the expectation that was given. We kind of say, oh, that's really a tight deadline, so maybe March. So I think we're not really sure about that. So all of those things consider, we really need to focus or try to come up with a plan and implementation that take us to that deadline, because we cannot take 6 months or more to, going through cases that not clear cut, nor obvious, And I think doing this watermark exercise, I'm not sure what are we trying to find that we cannot find using the spreadsheets way. And so the direction that I think we all agree, I mean, granted, Michael, you were not there because you were not physically in Montreal, but all of us agree, yeah, that the best way to for us to achieve the work, to accomplish the work and the deadline anticipated is by doing the thing that we know, right? And Bill was going to identify all those potential candidates, put it in the spreadsheets, and we will use the framework that we already know and go through that, you know, exercise as fast as we could. So hopefully, I mean, it's a lot of information, but that's kind of a summary of what went through. And please, Bill, Michael, Matt, please chime in if I mischaracterize any conversation or discussion that we had.
That's pretty close, although I think the sense I had from the IP was that their hopes for having a small number of variants are not likely to be fulfilled. I think we've got more variants than they would like, but I'm hoping they will show us the same respect that they have shown, for example, the Hindi group, which they wanted to argue about some diacritics that are used in some of the Hindi alphabet-based based languages, and the Hindi folks pushed back and said, nope, our people will simply see those as dead pixels and ignore them. And the IP apparently accepted that, and I'm hoping that they will do the same for us. So I suspect we may have, we're talking about sending them a updated draft, pardon me, every 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm suspecting that we may go around on those points rather more than they expect, and therefore we may well go on longer than the goal that they've laid out for us as the end of January. I do see it as a goal, not a absolute mandate. You know, we need to do our work and do it well, and it'll take as long as it takes. Mikhail, your hand up.
Yes. So thanks for the explanation, Dennis. So as a full response to your earlier question, from my point of view, so the word mark approach and what Bill is trying to do or has done is kind of has the same aim, but the path is different. And the path is different in the way that Bill just picked kind of arbitrarily certain characters where he thought they may be confusable or not. Now, we can all go on and add to that list more or less infinitely based on our personal view. And the word mark approach is based on the consensus we built in Brussels, where we did not go and identify individual pairs of characters, which may or may not be variants, but we identified features. So for example, features as modifiers above or below a character and things like this, as well as the stacking issues. So the approach laid out in Brussels and then kind of plan through using that word mark approach and the Trello and the Trello which page which kind of just summarizes how we spread up that job is supposed to be systematic. And we have to be systematic because if we're not systematic, I think we will receive critique from different parts, for example, in the public comment phase, but I'm certain also from IP, because we have seen similar remarks before on the document. So this is as to why we are continuing to do this, because it's a streamlined approach, which guarantees that we cover what needs to be covered instead of just pick characters randomly. Now, in regard to the question regarding the timelines and timeframes and what IP thought that we should be doing, we can try our best to help IP and have a cooperative working relationship. But as a generation panel, we're independent from IP's mandate. And just because we come last among the major scripts doesn't mean we should be allowed less time or less occasion to work and develop our own approach and our own methodology. So in a very simple sense, I don't think we should ourselves be let us be pushed on a time basis, because this work on Latin GP, on the Latin script LGR is important. And it just so happens that we are one of the later batches of scripts to finish our work. And then there was a third point you mentioned. I'm gonna stop here. Those are the two points. There was a third point you mentioned, Dennis. I'm trying to open my notes to respond to that as well. Thank you.
Let me ask one question while we're on this. How long do any of us think it would take us to finish up the task that we have in WordMark? Are we talking about it's going to take, 20 hours, and so it's going to take forever? Or are we talking about, that's a 2-hour job I can do, so it's something that can get finished in a reasonable span of time. Does anybody have a sense on that?
Can we build this, Dennis? Can we show what's being asked that we do? And maybe it's not much about the individual time that we each of us need to take, but at the end of the day, that work needs to be consolidated and processed. Do we have the time? I mean, right? All of us, 7 of us, will feed into 1 or 2 people trying to make sense of that information. Do these 2 people have the time to go through that? And then looks like that's a first phase, and then there's a second phase of doing the spreadsheet analysis. So trying to understand what are we gaining from this? Are we just, aiming to find those edge cases that clearly, I mean, if there are edge cases, why do we care? Right. And I tend to disagree, Michael mischaracterizing Bill choosing arbitrarily. I mean, I would argue that Michael is also using, choosing arbitrarily what we are trying to analyze and view. So why don't we just arbitrarily put everything on the spreadsheet? I mean, why can we do that? And just use one method and go through that once. Because at the same, I mean, we are feeding everything into one single spreadsheet that can easily be processed by 1-2 people. The other one I see very time consuming. I know that's my take, right? That's what it's going through my brain right now. It's not about the individual time. I mean, maybe, and if we can see what is being asked, I guess it's just, take the combination of letters, put it in WordMark, take a screenshot, that maybe depending on the case, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, I'm not sure. But then how do you, these one people or one person, two people process all of that information feeding into them, right? That's what I'm trying to understand. Is it cost efficient? The reality is that we don't have much time.
Let me try to respond to that. A couple of things. Assuming that the 10 or 20% of the Trello work that's remaining can be done, say over the course of a week, I think we could, since I'm probably, you know, I or Mikkel and I are the ones who would be folding that into the spreadsheet. I don't think that's an overwhelming burden there. I do have a question for Sarmad, if I might. One of the concerns of the IP that actually seemed to be driving their sense of urgency was their concern that there simply would be no budget for the IP to continue past the middle of next year. Is that, is it, Sarmad, is it your sense that that is really a serious problem, or do you think that if, you know, if we're not done in time for them to finish by then, is ICANN going to say, well, tough, I guess we won't do this because we don't want to spend the money on it, or are they going to find the budget if that's necessary? Do you have a sense on that, Sarmad?
So thank you, Bill. I'd like to respond, I think, slightly broadly than that, if you can bear with me. So I think, first of all, I guess there have been multiple comments I've been listening through. I think there was a comment about why IP may be more critical upon Latin versus, for example, on some other script. I don't think they are. They're, I guess, equally critical on all scripts. But there is a difference with Latin in a sense that all of them do actually use Latin script as a native user, which may not be true, for example, about their competence for some of the other scripts. So in that sense, I think their intuition for Latin script would of course be much stronger than their intuition for some other scripts, even though they've been working with those scripts for many, many years. They don't use that natively. So there is a certain difference, which is there, of course, for Latin for them. In any case, I think my sense of listening into those conversations as well is that I think there is a general, I think that they're feeling that maybe Latin's, I guess the analysis which you guys are doing, it's going broader perhaps than what I guess what they were at least anticipating. In a way, I guess we had that discussion earlier as well, that we are really, the wording of the LGR procedure is that we only need to, for variant analysis, we only need to worry about very clear-cut cases which should be taken off the table. Anything which is not clear-cut and requires, reasonably deep analysis and discussions is always automatically a candidate for something which goes into a similarity review rather than a variant analysis based on, to me, that in this context, a conservative approach really means that the variant set has to be very obvious, not the other way around. Based on the LGR procedure, I guess, as such. And I think, even though I think I guess I must say that IP, when they've having gone through the proposal you guys have done, are extremely appreciative of the thoroughness of the process and, you know, the amount of effort Latin GP is put into it. So there's no things about it, no two things about it. Actually, all the IP members are extremely obviously impressed. However, there is also a certain feeling that you guys are maybe going broader than what was expected from sort of what a variant could be in some cases. You know, you're going into beyond that more of, you know, the most obvious cases. So that's sort of ties into this discussion. You know, it's not about money, I think, as such. I think IP is in a way trying to hint or help the Latin GP that, you know, the analysis that's done is perhaps sufficient to move forward rather than spending more time and effort on you know, just trying to dig in those cases which are perhaps not obvious and therefore not needed through the LGR procedure. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmad. I can't resist commenting that, as you say, the IP are all familiar as native users with the Latin script, but my sense is that they're basically attempting to go with a top-down approach with the Latin script as opposed to the bottom-up approach that is normal for ICANN that's been used with the others. That may not be their intention, but that's certainly how it feels from to me from the bottom. Miguel?
Sorry.
Miguel, is your hand up?
Sorry, Bill. May I just make a quick comment on that? I guess I've been listening into many of these discussions with many other generation panels. IP is equally critical of all the scripts. I don't think Latin generation panel is getting any more significant input. You know, again, I think Mikal and some of us have been involved in other panels as well. And, you know, they've been they've given significant feedback on many assets. And not only, you know, Mikal and Hazem, for example, are familiar with the work on Arabic, but also for many other scripts, even index scripts. So I think they try to do diligence, So I wouldn't really say that Latin would be an exception. I'm just noting that, of course, their intuition for Latin is going to be different from their intuition for some other scripts. Thank you.
Right. I'm not questioning the feedback. I'm questioning the parts that don't feel like feedback, that feel like mandates from on high. Okay, Mikhail?
Yeah, thank you. The third part of Dennis' comment I hadn't replied to was the clear-cut cases, which now also came out in Sarmat's summary of his view of the situation and what IP expects. So the issue with a number of these so-called clear-cut cases is that they're not clear-cut before we actually become aware of them. And many of those cases are only clear-cut in a context. Examples include the issues with stacking, where diacritics become moved to a character before or after, therefore creating two kind of characters which should be in two glyphs which are confusable and therefore should be probably in a variant relationship. The word mark exercise is only a means to identify such cases. That's everything. And I understand that IP has asked for relevant fonts to be looked at, that is such which were used in user interfaces, but we don't have immediate, there is no definitive list of fonts being used in user interfaces. So as we have discussed on numerous occasions, URLs are rendered in all kinds of applications. So it is very difficult, if not impossible, to limit yourself to a specific choice. And if you do a specific choice, you have to look at different major browsers across different major operating systems, take a look at the default settings, and identify those fonts. So unless we're going to do that, I think the word mark approach is simply quicker, more streamlined, and faster. Now, Bill and others have asked about the time, and the time to finish this approach is not a big issue because we have already done 90% of the job, and the job is also encoded in the appendix we have. So if we look at, for example, cases where we have the shaping of base characters, or let me see, for example, the shaping of diacritics, I think there are like 14 cases or something like that. And 12 have already, we already have the analysis. So that means we have the data in the work as screen in form of screenshots, and we have an initial conclusion from the first reviewer. So producing the remaining data, we are talking about 10 to 5% of the entire work. So I'm assuming under 2 hours for each reviewer. So we could have that data by the next teleconference. And as for how to review it, I also have a suggestion I can make for workflow and a methodology, because it's already encoded in the appendix, which is also the final form it takes. So we can just go from section to section in the appendix, discuss the screenshot, see if we agree with the first reviewer. And if we don't, then we can take votes, for example, on it, as we did in previous cases, using those Excel spreadsheets. But we can't take a vote on the data in an Excel spreadsheet because the Excel spreadsheets only contain two arbitrarily chosen glyphs, two arbitrarily chosen fonts in which those glyphs are rendered, those code points are rendered. So they're only one form, and they may not be confusable or get mixed up in that form. So the word mark data is what we need to review, and not the kind of rendering we see in the spreadsheet. Yes, so I hope that should help answer the questions regarding the project planning and the time frame we need. Thank you.
Okay, Matt.
Well, I don't agree that the font that we use in the spreadsheet are arbitrary, because we discussed and chose three fonts that we considered to be common and used in these contexts. Thank you.
There's a comment by Michael in the chat as well.
Let me suggest this. Could we? Does anybody have a problem with, over the next 2 days, either go through and do your remaining open Trello tasks, or write to us and say, no, I haven't got time to do that, in which case we can see about someone else doing it. And I think that would... If we get that done, we can add those, add whichever additional cases we find into the spreadsheet and have that ready to go by next Thursday. Does anybody have a problem with that? Miguel, is that the same hand or is that a new hand?
No, I'm trying to lower it, sorry.
Okay, Michael is booked up, so anything he's got, somebody else will have to take. Anyone else who doesn't feel they can do the Trello stuff in the next couple of days?
sorry, Will, this is Dennis. I'm trying to, in order to respond, trying to open the, I have opened the Trello list. I'm just trying to find, because I know Mika created the table as well. So I'm trying to find, and that's in the document.
Yes.
Pichanan, can you get to that for us, please?
Right. And that would be posted in the chat as well.
Thank you. No, so that's a Trello, but the Word document where all the tables are.
The tables are contained.
Proposal 6, right?
Yes, it's the Google Docs version of our current proposal, which is draft for version 6. In the appendix, there is a subsection on each of those types. So shaping and stacking for base characters and for diacritics, etc. And each of that subsection contains in turn subsection named by the same kind of identifier, which is used for analysis.
So I'm open proposal 6. For example, and jumping on the queue here, I'm looking at the list of shaping of diacritic. There's an open item there assigned to me. I see missing analysis, Caron versus Horn above. So I'm looking now, Caron and Horn above. There's, I guess that's on Appendix D. Oh, and one more thing. I think we agree also that we are going to have a master document in Microsoft Word, so that we don't have these issues with transferring the format from Google Docs to Microsoft.
Yes, we do. Okay. We do have that agreement, yes.
But yet we are still working on Google Docs, so... Well,
I'll
let you guys figure that out. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to find hook and both. Hook, Caron and Horn. Caron and Horn. Oh, shaping. Caron and Horn. Oh. There you go. Caron and Horn. So what is obvious here about, yeah, and I think already did that. So the Caron and Horn, so I'm not sure how is those two diacritics are put against each other. I'm not sure what's even considered. Right. Well, one is a diacritic that goes on the side, and one and the other one goes on top. So I'm not sure.
There
this
is
one
rationale above
seems
there.
To be chosen arbitrarily, right? So
there is a rationale.
But anyways, the screenshots are there, so that you can tick off right now from that. But I mean, I would challenge these. Why are we even look at this, right? I mean,
Dennis, the thing is, the with the letter D, if you look at Appendix D .1.8, I believe it is. As I recall, the letter D with the Quran is put to the side, much like the.
Sorry, Bill, we lost you.
No, I lost me. sorry. Okay, I've got the...
Yeah, but so with letter D with Caron and letter D with Hook, you have things on the side in both cases.
Yeah, I got the number wrong, Pitanan, I'm sorry.
Which section again, sorry, for the D with the Hook? It's very slow on my end, sorry.
It's on page 123 in Google Docs. 123 to
124
in Google Docs. Thank you. Okay. The example just mentioned by Dennis was D3.12. And this section has an issue because it's in part the same as 3.12, the one which is shown now in the meeting room, which is why I also made a comment saying it should be merged with 3.12, but I didn't want to do that without the consent of the group. But even so, the data is not convincing or not useful because they are not adjacent. So you can't tell if they cross over. Also, the screenshot has a very low resolution. So the relevant section we should be looking at is D3.12, not D1.9, which is the example just discussed by, raised by Dennis. So the system is always that you have a hypothesis which explains why two features are chosen to be compared. And then there's a list of all code points which share those features. And those code points, which may actually, which for example are used on the same base character, are highlighted in yellow color. So if you scroll through the table, you can see that there are only, I think, four candidates. And then the job is to compare the two O's and the two U's. And as I said, on the whole, about 90% of the job has been done, but we need a basis for making a verdict. So we need like kind of graphics where we can see what the characters are rendered in context. So if you only have a string in Excel, it's not even stable. And lastly, as a response to why we are not using Microsoft Word as opposed to Google Docs at this stage, because the current draft is still in Google Docs, and we don't have a working, we don't have a good way to distribute work and edit collectively on a Word document, at this stage, I think there are some systems by Microsoft. I think there are like SharePoint servers where you can share Word files, but we don't have experience with that workflow within our group. So I would strongly advise against switching at this stage while we are still putting data into that. It will only lead to versioning issues in my personal view.
I think we have a plan for how to deal with doing this in Word, which basically we need to go through and take the Word document that the IP produced, and each of us, if we have edits that we wish to have made, make edits to those, email them to me, and I will consolidate them all into the next draft that we're putting forward. So I think we've got that covered. Okay, anything else on this?
Yes, I have a question.
Please, go ahead.
So the rationale on this case 3.1.12 is that these two characters, the O's and U's, they may be used interchangeably by handwriting in what languages? And I'm not sure why we've been, you know, talking about handwriting then, but even then, even if we accept the handwriting case here, what languages are these two characters used interchangeably?
Mikhail?
There is no specific language data associated with that interpretation because we haven't researched that. If we want to research that, that will take a whole lot more time. But the point is, if you look at the way people write those things, you can see that if they're less careful, they just they may just end up writing the right-hand side part of the caron and it may also overlap with the basic letter shape. But if you want example data from different languages, from different handwriting traditions, we will have to research that as a group. And this will take more time. So I think it's easier to just go with an informed hypothesis rather than first find relevant examples and images of handwriting.
I'm just going to close here, but I think this is the cases are way, you know, way far from being a clear cut case. Very far. So, and again, right, we have precious time and we are focusing on very edge cases. We don't even have a case for specific languages that we can say, yeah, we look at these because in these X languages, like for example, Marseillaise, that's where you can make a case where two characters using different diacritics are used interchangeably, and you have reference and resources to prove that. But in here, in this case, just making an assumption that this is maybe used in some language, I'm not sure we should be considering that, right? But again, the work is done. I mean, again, right? It's about how are we spending our precious time individually, and then collectively, those are going to be tasked with assembling this information and processing and making sense of all the information. I mean, I want you to be mindful of that, and how do you make us, you know, spend our time, you know, efficiently with purpose? Thank you.
Mikhail, your hand's up.
Yes, thank you. So in the case of this example, the job is not done because the characters lack context. So to know if those things cross over and how they behave, they should be placed adjacently in those strings. But if you look at the screenshots produced below, there is spacing in between them. So you can't really see if and how these things interact unless you put, for example, a character, the same very base character, O, in between them. And secondly, there is no conclusion as to what the status is of the two. So this is why this job is marked as unfinished, because it's only partially finished. And yes, we should waste our precious time. And now we have been discussing 50 minutes about methodology and workflow. And I have a workflow and a methodology ready, which is based on our consensus we had during our last face-to-face meeting. It is a continuation of a work we have started. We have done 90% of the job. We need the data to kind of come to a conclusion, in my personal view. I don't think we have an established alternative approach which has data for all those cases we need to consider. And unless you're going to discard the entirety of Appendix D, and the whole job, which kind of will nullify a lot of work we have done and make our work incomplete, I don't see another approach. So let's just go from section to section in the Appendix D and discuss the data which is there, and then take a group vote on each case. Yes, this should be a Veriden candidate, or no, this shouldn't be. We can start with the cases where the first reviewer identified them positively. And if there are any cases where the first reviewer said, no, they shouldn't be a variant, and an individual member of the group has tends to disagree with that, then we still can go back and discuss those cases.
Okay, so, let me butt in here, if I may. I think we've reached the point where we're just reiterating our positions, and so I'm going to be arbitrary. In spite of the fact that I'm only chairing for this one meeting, I'm going to be arbitrary anyway. I think where we will spend our time going forward, if we have the spreadsheet available, some of you have started working through it. If all the rest of you would please go for that. I think, Mikhail, I think you and I will go through and finish off the Trello work that is not done. My sense is you're willing to make the time. I'm willing to make the time, so we will not inflict that on everybody else. If we come up with cases that need to be added to the spreadsheet, then the other members may need to go back and catch those few remaining cases. But it seems to me that will allow us to go forward addressing both your concerns about getting everything completed and Dennis's concerns about not spending precious time on it. Dennis, your hand is up.
Thank you, Bill. So again, I'm happy to do the work, but I'm asking, give us something that really makes sense. And I want to go back to Michael's characterization of these screenshots, that the work is not done. So and you lost me there. What do you mean that? What else besides these screenshots that we're looking at here do you need to make an assessment of whether these two characters are visually the same? I mean, they're clearly different. So not sure what else or what more evidence do you need? I heard you about putting them into context, which I think you're referring to putting into a label, but these characters can be surrounded by any character for that matter. So I'm not sure what else you expect us to do.
Yes, I'm sorry. So first of all, these screenshots should be uniform so they are comparable. And secondly, the specific context needed here is that we remove the spacing in between the two characters, or you can, if you want to label a hypothetical, you can just insert the same base character. So you, and then you with a charon and the basic, and you again. You with a hook and the you again. This way you have strings where you can see how the letters connect. This is what I mean by context. I hope this is clear.
Oh, I understand what you're saying, but not sure how that's solving what we need to do. Again, these characters can be surrounded by any character. So what are we looking for here? Because that's much more work than just putting this what's already been delivered.
Sorry? What is much more work?
I mean, you're saying that you have to put a string of characters, the same character, or not the same character, the same base letter, looking for what? I'm not sure.
looking for cases where the glyphs overlap, where the modifiers become displaced. Because the modifiers can't be displaced and the glyphs can't overlap if there is nothing next to it. So
okay, but that will not change if I put more categories into what you already see. So not how does that help?
I think I would like to agree with Dennis on this. When we were looking at the stacking issue, the diacritics that got displaced regardless of whether there was something adjacent or not. So, I mean, there was an issue about whether it got overlapped with the following character or not, but the diacritic got displaced regardless. So I'm not sure we need to worry about that. Michael, why don't you and I go through the cases that we have which haven't been done at all and see if we can get those wrapped up in the next couple of days and then see what needs to go in the spreadsheets. If that's okay with you and we can talk further about these cases where you'd like a complete label to look at, and that will and meanwhile the rest of the group can work on the spreadsheet. We're just about out of time. Dennis, did you have one last comment you wanted to toss in?
Yes, Bill, thank you. I'm looking at the spreadsheet and one case caught my attention. It has ones there. So Michael inspected these two glyphs and reached the conclusion they're identical. And I think he's spot on. The glyphs are identical because they are the same glyphs. But I think the intention was to put different characters side by side. So if I'm not mistaken, 1E45 should be end with dot above and not acute.
I will thank you for that. I will go through and double check that one. Yes, I see what you mean. I will go through and fix that. My apologies.
That's what I insisted, having a second layer of confirmation, having the text on the next to it. I mean, you can choose to hide it, but I mean, that's a second layer for confirmation that what you are rendering there is what you intended for. Thank you.
If I just may comment, I mean, you can have that on a different tab if you don't want to have it in the same tab. So producing the Unicode code in a different tab, so you can just quickly see that they're not identical.
Okay, I'll work on that. Michael?
Yeah, just shortly, that whenever you change something there, please remove my vote so I know that I have to redo them, because otherwise I won't know which has been changed and which I have to redo.
Yes, sir, I will do that.
Thanks.
Okay, we're out of time. Thank you, Michael, for having actually gone through and started processing the spreadsheet. I hope the rest of you can find time in the next few days to do that as well. Pitanan, I think that's a wrap.
Okay. Thank you all for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.